The Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge. Thus have I heard, once the Blessed One was dwelling in Rajagriha at Vulture Peak Mountain, together with a great gathering of the Sangha of monks and a great gathering of the Sangha of Bodhisattvas. At that time, the Blessed One entered the Samadhi that expresses the Dharma called profound illumination. And at the same time, Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, while practicing the profound Prajnaparamita, saw in this way. He saw the five skandhas to be empty of nature. Then, through the power of Buddha, Venerable Shariputra said to Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, how should a son or daughter of noble family train who wishes to practice profound Prajnaparamita? Dressed in this way, Noble Avalokiteshvara, Bodhisattva Mahasattva, said to Venerable Shariputra, O Shariputra, son or daughter of noble family who wishes to practice the profound Prajnaparamita should see in this way, seeing the five skandhas to be empty of nature. It's emptiness. Emptiness also is form. Emptiness is no other than form. Form is no other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, perception, formation, and consciousness are emptiness. Thus, Shariputra, all dharmas are emptiness. There are no characteristics. There is no birth and no cessation. There is no impurity and no purity. There is no decrease and no increase. Therefore, Shariputra, in emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no formation, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no appearance, no sound, no smell, no taste, no touch, no dharmas, no eye dhatu up to no mind dhatu, no dhatu of dharmas, no mind consciousness dhatu, no ignorance, no end of ignorance up to no old age and death, no end of old age and death. No suffering, no origin of suffering, no cessation of suffering, no path, no wisdom, no attainment, and no non-attainment. Therefore, Shariputra, since the Bodhisattvas have no attainment, they abide by me, Prajnaparamita. Since there is no obscuration of mind, there is no fear. They transcend falsity and attain complete nirvana. All the Buddhas of the three times, by means of Prajnaparamita, fully awaken to unsurpassable, true, complete enlightenment. Therefore, the great mantra of Prajnaparamita, the mantra of great insight, the unsurpassed mantra, the unequaled mantra, the mantra that calms all suffering should be known as truth since there is no deception. Prajnaparamita mantra is said in this way. Te Ata Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasangati Bodhisoha. Thus, Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, should train in the profound Prajnaparamita. The Blessed One arose from that samadhi and praised Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, saying, good, good, O son of noble family, thus it is, O son of noble family, thus it is. One should practice the profound Prajnaparamita just as you have taught, and all the Tathagatas will rejoice. The Blessed One had said this, Venerable Shariputra and Noble Avalokiteshvara, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, that whole assembly in the world with its gods, humans, asuras, and gandharvas rejoiced and praised the words of the Blessed One. Mm-hmm. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. Holy Lamas high, wrap the sky of your Dharma bodies in massive knowledge of knowledge and love. Let them pour upon the earth of your disciples as we are ready, shower of rain, the teachings deep and wide. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. Hidam Guru Rana Mandala Ram Niradayami. Chiradan Jodhi Jodhanam La Janjo Badu Dhani Jazu Jiragi Jodhani Jibhe Zonam Jidrala. So we are going to start now the section where we left off 5 weeks ago. So I'm going to find the exact page in the English. Just bear with me for one moment. It's on 98 in the Tibetan. I just... All right. Three types of persons. 94, 96. Is there mindfulness of death? Nibbana, 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 Nibbana,
제부 중어도 동어 나지진 봐. 어들레 다 중어데도 제부 송 제부 제부 중어를 쓰고 말아.
So we're on the mindful, it's sectioned off as mindfulness of death. So that's where we're going to begin. We're in that new chapter now. Page 142. Three, actually, it would be. It's not numbered, that's why. It's right before the 144 is numbered. That's helpful. Okay.
What that then? That line is what the marble. Chugun to my name is the Bobby Chivas. But the Adisha is more. Lando the Adisha is more. He's not Adisha, not as his mother.
That's okay.
Chugun to my name is the Bobby Chivas. Dangala Kubachi with Chuchi Chivas. That you London was over to the Sora Maladanga, Tamatan came out to be Chava, what she had the Marbe.
Mhm.
Chuji Chava, Chavani, Chulani, she said, I said, and was Songe Tajiba, the Mongoji, how much at the Tajim, Jiba, the Tajimara, Jiba, the Mongoji, how much at the Tajim, but the La, Majesta was in it, and two down, then the Lutajan at the Bani, what then made the Marbe?
Mhm.
You're not going to be able to do it. The country. Jason Dude was. Then I can you tell you, Chug Junkalo, London Dude was a matter. London turned out the Katuna, Chungun did not choose with Jibuson Shibashas, Jibuchung, Chunguta, Tumu Lazarimba, Dinga, Dinga Tumu Lazarimba, Jibishi Lazarimba, so matter. Song the Dana Tanga, so Jibuchung to Kalin would be.
That's it.
That Jibuchung, Chunguta Tumu Lazarade, Tanga so. Dindu lang tu marve dindu. Kada me dindu tu yake lang tu karre sena chibu chungo chungo tu tumo na jere ba dindu lang. Wada chibu chungo chungo tu tumo na jere ba ta jang na lali chigre mali chigre chibu yungre s. Tan dindu tumo na sya de tene tene kasukre labasong tu marve labi labasong ta gungi na ane nye mu ta dungen sawa na pongbe taba yungre s. Taba marbe. That Jimmy Jimmy Lajan Ju Senda. What does Lujan Bajibayina? Sanji Torres. Soon to what the Duna would think about it. Jason took a true and do you Jebel and Levashi. Jason is London Jason. Can you tell you to not go Lord? Then do you others? Zamil in Chukalo, Jason Duba Dabres. What's on his server?
So the Great Treatise on the Stage of the Path to Enlightenment begins with an outline of material to come. And there are four categories that we've gone through so far, and we're in the fourth category. The first category is the greatness of the teaching's author. And at that point in the teaching, there is the liberation life story of Lord Atisha that is given, and the qualities that Lord Atisha had. So when we're speaking of the greatness of the teacher, just as a side note, it's going to come up later, but the teaching itself that's being referred to here is the Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment, which Lord Atisha wrote. So it begins with the greatness of Lord Atisha. Then the second is the greatness of the teaching. And then in that section, it shows various points that it shows that how all the conqueror's instructions are not contradictory, so that all the teachings are don't contradict themselves, and then it shows that the all of the teachings of Lord Buddha were instructions, or the, all the scriptures or teachings that the Buddha gave were instructions to be practiced. And then there are two other categories, Rinpoche. I believe two more. He said, etc. So I just want to make sure anyone following. So, etc. And then we get into the next section that deals with the how to listen to and explain the teaching. So, the proper way to listen to the teaching, the proper way that the teaching should be given. And then the next category is how to lead students through the actual instructions of the stages of the path. So that's the category that we're currently in. And then that begins with the section of how to rely upon the teacher that is the root of the path. And then after that, once one has relied upon the teacher, how to move forward from there. So then in that section, we have categories of how to develop certain knowledge of a general presentation of a path and the actual way to take full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity. So in there, we find categories that that show us how students are led through these stages. Let me back up. I forgot one thing. So before that, there are two categories: exhortation to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity, and how to take full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity. In the section where there's an exhortation to take full advantage of that life of leisure and opportunity, there are three categories. The identification of leisure and opportunity are and then the great importance of leisure and opportunity, and the difficulty of obtaining leisure and opportunity. So that's under the section, the exhortation. And then the next section that deals with how to take full advantage of the life of leisure and opportunity then gets into what I just mentioned of how the students are led through using these instructions. So these instructions that are being given, again, are referring to the teaching of the lamp for the path to enlightenment. And that teaching summarizes and contains all of the pronouncements of Lord Buddha, as well as the authentic Indian commentaries. So the Kangjar and the Tanjar are all included and summarized within Atisha's lamp for the path to enlightenment. So that is why Lama Tsongkhapa compares it to a great ocean in the abbreviated stage of the path, where he says it's an ocean of illustrious instruction containing all of the excellent classics. So he compares it to an ocean because if we look at the actual ocean, all of the waters and the rivers in the world eventually end up into the ocean. So it's for this reason that the lamp for the path to enlightenment is compared to an ocean, because all of the teachings of Buddhism, of the Kangjar and Tanjar, the pronouncements of Lord Buddha, the authentic Indian commentaries, the Hinayana teachings, the Mahayana teachings, all of these are included within this teaching. So it's compared to an ocean because of this. What is the teaching? The teaching is for the teachings for beings of three capacities. And Lord Atisha begins the text by, begins in the beginning of Lord Atisha's text, The Lamp for the Path to Enlightenment. It states, understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, middling, and great. I shall write clearly identifying their characteristics. So the first statement that's made is that there is a person of small capacity. So what this is referring to is the teachings that are shared in common with beings of small capacity, or the pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity. And those pathways are those pathways that lead to the higher realms of cyclic existence. So the higher realms of the gods, the demigods, and the human realms. And there is an abandonment of the lower realms of the hell-hungry ghost and animal realm. So these are the pathways which lead one to the higher realms. So understand there are persons of three capacities. Small, that is what small is referring to. Those persons who engage in pathways which lead to the higher realms. And then Atisha states middling, Medium is standing for the stages of the path that are shared in common with beings of medium capacity, or the teachings for beings of medium capacity. And those pathways lead one completely out of cyclic existence. This is an abandonment of cyclic existence altogether by abandoning the afflictions and suffering. So by abandoning the afflictions and the root of cyclic existence, then suffering is abandoned. And in the pathways shared in common with beings of medium capacity, one does so by engaging in the three highest higher trainings. By engaging in the highest higher trainings of ethics, concentration, and wisdom, one is able to get rid of the afflictions and then get rid of the root of cyclic existence and then the suffering of cyclic existence. So this is what is meant by middling. And then the last statement is great. Great is referring to the stages of the path for beings of great capacity, the stage of the path for those bodhisattvas who aspire to become Buddhas for the sake of all sentient beings. Those beings must engage in the common pathways as well as the bodhisattva pathway, the path which requires the mind that aspires to enlightenment. So this is a synopsis of those small, the meaning of small, middling, and great. And within that we find all of the teachings of Buddhism. Within those, there are no teachings that can be found outside of the scope of those three. If we look at those three, those contain all of the teachings of Buddhism. So the way that we engage in the way that we have experiences, or the way that we experience things, are dependent upon our actions. So our actions lead to the results of our experience, and we create actions through our body, speech, and mind. There are no other place in which we create actions that have results. So these actions have consequences, be they good consequences or negative consequences. When looking at non-virtuous activity of the body, speech, and mind, there are various degrees of non-virtue. If we create the greatest degree of non-virtue of our body, speech, or mind, anything, that this creates rebirth into a hell realm. If we create a medium degree of non-virtue through our body, speech, and mind, this creates rebirth into the hungry ghost realm. And if we create a small degree of non-virtue through our body, speech, and mind, then this creates or gives rise to the experience of the animal realm rebirth. So the same is also true, though, for virtuous activities. If one engages in virtuous activities, there are positive results. So the greatest degree of virtuous activity gives rise to the experience of the God's realm. The medium degree of virtuous activity gives rise to the experience of the demigod's realm. And a small degree of virtuous activity gives rise to the experience of rebirth in the human realm. Chu mikewa ju lapsoe kejeson.
Gojo se da duna sonwa. Jeba jin de gojo.
Okay.
Magojo.
And if we were to look at it in a summarized way, we would just say the three body, speech, and mind. Actions of body, speech, and mind. And if we were to expand upon that, we would look at the 10 virtuous actions and the 10 non-virtuous actions. If we were to expand, look at it in a more expanded way. Okay. So the pathway which leads to the higher realms is the pathway shared in common with beings of small capacity. And this pathway, or the requires the following practices: engaging in ethics, which is the abandonment of the 10 non-virtuous activities, going for refuge to the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, and if one does engage in negativity, acknowledging that downfall or confessing that downfall. And by doing these practices, these are the pathways which lead to the experience of the higher realms. So in Hinduism and Christianity, we find this idea of going for refuge to God. So it's very similar, no? The next are the pathways shared in common with beings of medium capacity. And these are those which lead to liberation. In the Sutra of the Heart of Transcendent Knowledge, we find many negations that are made. There is no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, etc. So there are many negations that are made. And here, these negations are not negating the existence of any of these subjects. It is negating the true establishment of these subjects. There is a negation of the mode of reality, or the mode of existence, that is usually misapprehended. So it is the grasping, or the misapprehension of true establishment, the grasping at true establishment, that is the root of cyclic existence. In looking at the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha first stated that this is the superior truth of suffering. This is the superior truth of origin. So suffering has a cause, and this is the origin. And under the category of origin, there is karma that is origin and afflictions that are origin. So at the root of that, we find the grasping at true establishment, this misapprehension. So by abandoning the grasping at true establishment, we're able to get rid of the origin, the karma that is origin and the afflictions that are origin, and therefore get rid of that which gives rise to suffering. So one does so by realizing the lack of true establishment, and then engaging in the path, a pathway. Nghe the denji tam ni la son, sumbo jipa la ma son. Okay.
Taba drinzing lulu shirwa. Taba the dream I miss is one, drinzing lulu nud was. What then Naji, Chuna deva maruva shes one, not deva maruva shes one, not deva drivers of dancing nunus, tea in the bow, laid on your mobile nun, dungel nun. What things are maruva?
Just as the misapprehension in a dark room of a rope could cause one to believe that something is a snake. And then various emotions occur because of this mistaken view. Just like that, when one grasps at true establishment mistakenly, then this grasping at the I, or the self, as being truly established, grasping at phenomena as being truly established, gives rise to the karma and the afflictions that give rise to the experience of suffering. So the I is not truly established. There is this belief that there is a true establishment of I or ego. But when we investigate or engage in analysis, we start to try to find this I. We say, is the I the I? Is the experience the I? Are the five elements the I? Are the five aggregates the I? And no, not the five aggregates, not the five elements, not the I. Is there somewhere else that we can find it? So when we engage in this investigation, we won't be able to locate where this I actually is. And then when we look at it in reality, it is merely a name or an imputation that goes on top of a basis of designation, which is just merely a collection of parts that serves as a basis for a name. So then it is the grasping at it as being truly established, that is the mistaken view, that then gives rise to all the negativities of the karma and the afflictions and the experience of suffering. So the I is merely imputed or named on a basis of designation, which is a collection of all of the aggregates and elements, etc. So going back to the pathway shared in common with beings of small capacity, the real pith or the main point is the going for refuge to the three jewels, the ethics abandoning 10 non-virtues, and the acknowledgement of downfall. So that's what we will get into in detail in this section that deals with the teaching, the... Let's see, stages of the path that are shared in common with beings of small capacity is the heading in the Tibetan. And again, it says mindfulness of... So you'll find on the mindfulness of death section within the outline, point one is training, the actual training of the thought for a person of small capacity. And above that, it says training the mind in the stages of the path shared with persons of small capacity. So that's the heading in the Tibetan, where we find it in the outline in the English translation. So I'm just trying to connect these for everyone who's trying to follow along. So you'll find it under the actual way to take full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity, because we... Again, went over exhortation to take full advantage of life of leisure and opportunity, and now we're on the actual way to take full advantage of it. And the section is the training the mind in the stage of the past shared in common with persons of small capacity. So that's on the page mentioned before. So just in those couple of sentences, understand that there are persons of three capacities, small, middling, and great. We find the implicitly all of the teachings shared in pathways shared in common with beings of small capacity, the pathways shared in common with beings of medium capacity, and the pathways for beings of great capacity. So the actual way to take full advantage of a life of leisure and opportunity has three sections, it begins with. First is training the mind in the stages of the past shared in common with persons of small capacity. Then the next section deals with training the mind in the stage of the path shared with persons of medium capacity. And then the third, training the mind in the stage of the path for persons of great capacity, or beings of great capacity. So this is the beginning presentation.
Mm-hmm. chibi chungun samba, chibi chungun samba jama ngunji, samba di chibi tseji, tila luba tuba kaba saji sungrendo.
Less so.
Yeah.
And then, it's interesting, then the next section in the Tibetan says there are three divisions of the section called training the mind in the stages shared in common, the stages of the past shared in common with persons of small capacity. So we have three sections. The actual training of, this is on 144 in English, the actual training of the thought for a person of small capacity, the measure of the attitude of a person of small capacity, and then clearing up misconceptions concerning the attitude of a person of small capacity. So these are the first three points that are made.
Next,
the developing a state of mind. So the actual training of a thought for persons of small capacity has two divisions. Developing a state of mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives, and then relying on the means for achieving happiness in the next life. So the method for achieving happiness in the next life. So next, this first part, developing a state of mind, it's developing this, it's the dopa is like a aspiration or a want, like wish, dopa. So it's a wish. Developing a state of mind is really, if we were to really be literal with it, it's like wishing. So developing this wish to strive diligently for the sake of future lives. So we're transforming our mind into a state that's a wish for this. So I'm sorry to bounce around with words, but I wanted to make it more literal. So it's developing this desire, this dopa, this wish. And what is one wishing for? What does one want if he or she is a person of small capacity? He or she wishes to be free from the lower realms, so he or she has renunciation relative to the lower realms of cyclic existence, and he or she wishes or wants to have rebirth in the higher realms of gods, humans, and demigods. So here, he or she wishes or wants to develop a mind that wishes to strive diligently for the sake of future lives, and what in the future life does he or she want? He or she wishes to have rebirth in the higher realms and not have rebirth in the lower realms. So if we were to say, show the wish of a person of small capacity, we would posit, if we were in debate style, if we would say, show the desire or the wish of a person of small capacity, the person answering would say, to be reborn in the higher realms of the gods, demigods, and humans, and to be free from the lower realms. This is his or her wish.
And then there were some young Marva. And then Juka do was in a Jitin Shamadi, taught him was. That conjures on the children to Yukone, Nogajum was sitting on the Susun, Dibala Shanachia, what the letter was.
So then the next section that says relying on the means or relying on the method for achieving happiness in the next life is showing how one does this. So just wishing for it will not cause it to happen. So just wishing that one will have rebirth in the higher realms will not cause that. There is a method for achieving that happiness. The method is going for refuge to the three jewels of the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha, engaging in ethics which abandons the 10 non-virtuous activities, and acknowledging one's downfall if he or she has committed a non-virtue. So this is the means for achieving happiness in the next life. So we're looking at the wish to and then the means to. So this is a mind that is looking towards the future life. This is specifically wanting to not be born in the lower realms, and a mind that wants in future lives to have these rebirths of the gods, humans, and demigods. So the mind is looking towards future life. Future, not this life, future life. So, developing a mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives, or developing this wish, has two parts. The first is the mindfulness of death, the contemplation that you will not remain long in this world. So here, we will find the teaching on impermanence, the momentary disintegration. And we have many examples of, if we look at history, of all of those who have come before us and have died. So there's no escaping the death. It's certain we will die. And we have many examples to prove that when we look back at all those who have. So this section deals with impermanence and the actual reality that there is no escaping the fact that we will not remain very long in this world. So this is the first part of how one develops this wish, this
mind.
If there is no past or future life, then higher realm, lower realm, none of this makes any difference whatsoever. But because there is certainly a past life and future life, there is a need for this discussion. And it's like leaving an old hotel and moving in to a new one when we die. So we will certainly take on a hotel or a new body in the future. So we discard this body and we take on a new one. And if we wish to have happiness, experience happiness in that new body, in that new experience, body or experience, then it's necessary to have the throwing or propelling virtuous karma that will create that happy experience. This is what we need to realize, is that if we want to have in the future happiness, then we will have to engage in the causes that will create that happiness.
Shiba yuezang, 안에 쉐바데 간에 좀 와서는 쉐바데 쉐바가마 쉐바가마 토마메 바르스 온 정도에 토마메 바르스 안에 가서 메고 오블라서 봐 오븐도 와서 오븐 여자 안정 아마 요하르스 오븐 토마메 바르스 what is it marbe
so there are three proofs or reasons given for the existence of previous lives. The first is the breath, the breathing in and out. The breathing in and out that we do came from a previous breathing in and out that came from a previous breathing in and out. It was never caused by non-breathing in and out. It was a previous breathing in and out. So when we look at that, we find beginningless breathing in and out. So then we find the existence of previous lives, beginningless lives where we were breathing in and out. The next is consciousness itself. Consciousness came from a previous consciousness that came from a previous consciousness. Non-consciousness has never caused consciousness. Therefore, we find beginning as consciousness and can posit beginningless birth and therefore posit previous lives. And the last is the existence of the sense powers themselves. The sense powers came from previous sense power that came from previous sense power. When we look at it in that way, no non-sense power has never caused sense power. We find beginningless sense power, therefore we posit beginningless lives, therefore we posit past lives. So these are three reasons that are given to establish the existence of previous lives.
That's in the Shiva there. Amishabad, Pamishabad Yoruba. That Pamishabad Kane Yorazana, Matushabad, Pamishabad, Matushabad Revomaris. Kumo Shabad Lugan Yoras, Padushabad Yoras, Tengama Tengama, Joel Toma Mabaris. What is on Marva?
We could ask does our consciousness maybe come from our parents? Is it our mother's consciousness or something of this nature? And we can see that that's not. So, because it's clearly a different consciousness. Their states of knowing are not the same. What we know and our parents know are different. So it is not the same consciousness that is there. It's obviously a different consciousness. It's a consciousness that came from a previous moment of consciousness that then, if we look at our when we were born, that consciousness came from the intermediate state consciousness which came from the previous life's consciousness, and then we find this beginningless consciousness, or beginningless mind or consciousness, and then we see that there are past lives or beginningless lives, and this is how we state that consciousness comes into being. It's different, obviously, than that of the parents because of the different information that it contains, or the different knowing that it contains.
Since Tamali is Shiva Yoris, Marbe, Migi Shiva, Naisha, Naisha, Ji Shiva, Lusiva, Ishiva, the Since Tamali Yoris, Saint John's University was, Tomano, Ishiva, the Jibatanji Tao, Nuba Yoris, Chutanji Shia, Nuba Yoris, Since Tamale, Sanji Rigicha Yoris, Rite, Ishiva Jaguars, Marbe, Ishiva Jaguars.
All sentient beings possess mental consciousness, and therefore all sentient beings have Buddha potential. When looking at consciousness, there are six consciousness: eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and mental consciousness. And the Buddha potential is the mental consciousness. Because the mind is in the nature of clear light and not stained. There's not naturally a stain in the mind. And therefore, because all sentient beings possess this mind, which has this nature, all sentient beings necessarily possess Buddha potential or Buddha nature. If we're looking at the use of correct signs or perfect reasons, as it's sometimes translated, consciousness always came from a previous consciousness. There's something that isn't consciousness couldn't create the consciousness itself. Just like this rice crop came from this year's rice crop came from a previous year's rice crop. It came from a previous rice crop. There isn't something that isn't rice crop that can create rice crop. It has to be concordant with its results. Therefore, consciousness has always come from a previous consciousness, and therefore we posit beginningless consciousness, because there is no possibility that non-consciousness can create consciousness. Another thing we can look at is that there are many sentient beings dying, and then there are many sentient beings being born. And what is the relationship that we find here? And the relationship is that the sentient beings that are dying are the ones that are being born. So this is where how we can explain this the birth and death. And just a translator's note, there are other realms in Buddhism other than just this world where humans abide and so forth. All sentient beings have had beginningless lives. Because all sentient beings have had beginningless lives, we can surely state that all sentient beings are our mothers. We've had these relationships because we are sentient beings, and other sentient beings, all sentient beings have had beginningless lives. So therefore, we can use this as a reason for stating that sentient beings are our mothers. So how do we know future lives? What is the sign of a future life? This current life that we are experiencing is a result of our previous life's time of death and the attachment that we possessed. So if at the time of death we still have it, then we will necessarily take on a rebirth within cyclic existence. If we do not have attachment at the time of death, we no longer have attachment, then we will not take on a rebirth. We will take on a rebirth somewhere else, not within cyclic existence. Rinpoche said a different birth. And I translator's note, this doesn't mean birth in the sense of cyclic existence. It's a different birth would maybe be a loaded word, a different state of being. If one does not have attachment at the time of death, then he or she will arise as a different state of being than one being born in cyclic existence. So we are moving out of an old hotel and moving into a new hotel when we die. We're discarding our old aggregates and we're moving into new aggregates so we die. So it's just this big circle, Korajap. It means going around and around and around. Rinpoche said it before, I'm sorry, I forgot to say it, but going around and around and around. So I believe at this point we'll take a short break if anyone needs. So then we have just going through it again, the order, the actual training for the thought of a person of small capacity, the two divisions, developing a state of mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives, and relying on the means for achieving happiness in the next life. So the first, developing a state of mind that strives diligently for the sake of future lives, has two categories. The mindfulness of death, contemplation that you will not remain long in this world. One will not escape death. There is certainty of death. And then contemplating what will occur in your future life, the happiness or suffering of the two types of beings. So here, two types of beings are referring to those beings in the lower realms and those beings in the higher realms. So the mindfulness of death has four parts. So this is the section, the mindfulness of death, contemplation that you will not remain long in this world. So there are four parts. The faults of not cultivating the mindfulness of death. So the downfall of not cultivating this. And then the benefit of such cultivation. So these are the first two. So the negativity of not thinking about death, that death will occur, the impermanence of our position, if you will, our impermanence, our inevitable death. So it's a downfall if we don't think about it, and its benefit, it will benefit us if we do. So this is the second section. The third is the kind of mindfulness of death that you should develop. And then the fourth is how to cultivate mindfulness of death. So the first section is the fault of not cultivating mindfulness of death. Here, this deals with initially the first. All right, the first is the faults of not cultivating the mindfulness of death. So when the Buddha expounded the Four Noble Truths initially, he stated first, this is the superior truth of suffering, then this is the superior truth of origin, this is the superior truth of cessation, and this is the superior truth of path. And among these four superior truths, there are 16 attributes, or 16 aspects, four aspects for each of the four noble truths. So the first noble truth, the truth of suffering, has four aspects, impermanence, suffering, emptiness, and selflessness. So here, this is referring to perceiving misperceptions that occur, perceiving the impermanent to be permanent. So perceiving things that are momentary to be permanent and not be momentary, be static. Seeing suffering as happiness, seeing things that are actually suffering as delightful feeling happy about them. Emptiness, seeing things that are impure, as pure and not empty, or having some inherent pureness, and that they aren't empty. And then selfless is that the mistaken belief is that they there is an actual self. So in here, it goes into the where it says, it talks about in the Lama Rinpoche, the impure to be pure. That's speaking of emptiness, suffering to be happiness, impermanent to be permanent, and selflessness to have a self. So is impure is referring to the opposite of emptiness. This is the first of the first four aspects of the first noble, the four aspects of the first noble truth, and there are 16, because each of the four noble truths has four. Sorry about the jumble.
Shinjilu jile matabala taban zimi shinjilu shinjilu ni tambo nebi kunju dos matabala taban zimi lutege and then chuyabu drubal nergres the nungures nergres marve no gunjuro tella tara niles taban zimi tanzitla rabat the chamuni waters taban zimi tanzitla rabat the chamuni waters rabat the tara nile Rabbi Mataba Chuala Machinja was Tazi Rabat Garrison, Tangasule Nashigamaris, so much you can call Nashigamaris. Chitan Sugar, Tarin Sugamaris, Mashiba the Ungaris, but the Mata Tanzi Rabaris, Tanzi Rabba,
tearing his Sugamari,
Tarin Sugamaris.
I'll read that. The NGK Lo Rinpoche. So the faults of not cultivating the mindfulness of death. As previously mentioned, there are four errors that impede your taking full advantage of your life. Conceiving the impure to be pure, suffering to be happiness, the impermanent to be permanent, and the selfless to have a self. Initially, it is the mere conception of the impermanent to be permanent that is the avenue of much injury. The conception is twofold, coarse and subtle. So here, the impermanent to be permanent. So thinking that it doesn't need to be, I will never die, because we see death, but it means that, oh, I won't die today. So there's nothing to think about, I'm not gonna die today. So this is the coarse form of this conception of impermanent to be permanent, is thinking that I am not going to die today. Rinpoche, the sanlo nge shigamari sanlo yomari, tearing shigamari. Okay, so both. I'm not going to die, or I'm not going to die.
Shigamari sambajiyo na wote tanzi marbe, tanzi rabarasi rabar. Tangalo jale shigamare, dawaji le shigamare, ane shabujunga shigamare, dunta chile shigamare. Wato santa ma tanzi samare, tanzi rapa.
So thinking I'm not going to die, or thinking I'm not going to die this year, or thinking I'm not going to die this month, or thinking I'm not going to die this week, or I'm not going to die this this time or now. So thinking in this way would be the conceiving the impermanent to be permanent in a raw or coarse way.
Tala tanzi thara nyi le, si tanzi thara nyi le, rabi matapa la, chwa la machinyabi, nabara tuba nyi, nabi go huza. Kaso tanzi raba to, rabi matapa ta, rabi tanzi nyi di jad marwa.
Yes, sir. So here it says, conception is twofold, coarse and subtle. Of these two, in the case of your coarse impermanence, which is your death, the avenue of injury is the very thought, I will not die. So this idea, I'm not going to die.
Rabbi Matapa, Chowasana, Dein. Dein de la Chowamarba, Dein. Dein, dead. Dein is na, Chowasana, Mahoparwa. Chowasana, Deba. Deba Marba. Chowasana, Dein, Chijimba, Dein. What the Chowala?
So this idea that if we look at dying, that's a future, and death is over. So it's the etymology within the Tibetan wording of it. Here is the thought that I will not die. So I will not, and I like this experience. This isn't going to happen. So this is the course. Misconception of the impermanent as permanent.
Rabbi Madaba Chua de Chua San Tamaina, Rabbi Madaba San Kuguja, Tamazu Kamba Lunu were the mission were the Rabba Mumud, Rabbi Madaba. My children is Amaina, Rabbi Madaba Kugura, Chigmarisana, Tanzi Rabba.
So we have many examples. We have the examples of a house that breaks down, and the impermanence of that, or the impermanence of the kamba dang gari sumpre. Car crash, houses. Rinpoche is giving examples of, we know that things end. This is the coarse impermanence of these things that we're referring to, the actual ending of them, their impermanence, their coarse impermanence, not the, a momentary subtlety, just the fact that they will they perish. That's the coarse impermanence.
Kejitamu.
So the fact that there is a death itself is the course, but the dying, the momentary dying that we're experiencing right now, the momentary disintegration, is that subtle impermanence, the first moment of that we are, we begin this dying. So that's why the word dying and death become important, because we're dying the first moment, and every moment that goes by, we're dying closer to death. That was just a closer to death translator's note. So we're this moment, we're dying by the moment, and that's the subtle impermanence.
What is that? Matabala tabanzi vishiju lutan tambo. Nebu Gunjuro, Tela Tara Nile, Rabbi Madaba Chuala, Machinapi, Number Tuba, Nini, Nebu Gugus, Rabbi Madabala, and then also in the Chinu was the Machinapi Solid Waters, were taking us of Chuishable New Waters, Chu Drubala, Chibichungu Chu, Chibin Dingi Chu, Chibichu, Chimichu Drubala, the Tabitanzi, the New Waters, Nebu Gunjuros.
And so this thought that I will not die is harmful to practice, harms our ability to do dharma. If we think we won't die, it harms our ability to engage in the pathways in common with small and medium capacity and the practices for beings of great capacity. This idea is harmful is the most literal trend. It harms our ability to do so. Rinpoche mentioned that once before too, maybe twice, and I forgot to translate that, that it is a harms our ability. This idea of not dying.
So everyone
has the idea that death will come later at the end. So there's this end later on. This is going to happen. Not now. It's nothing to worry about now, but there's this distant event that will happen of death. So it says, however, with each passing day, people think, I will not die today. I will not die today, clinging to this thought until the moment of death. Every day that passes, there isn't this mindfulness, this idea that there's a potential or a possibility that today is the day that one will die. Clinging to this thought until the moment of death. So this idea that, oh, today isn't the day. Well, there is a day that will come, that will be that day. So it's certainty. There is certainty with that.
So we will not be able to engage
well in the practice of Dharma, the Dharma teachings for a small, a medium, or great capacity. If we have this thought or this idea that I will not die today, I'm not going to die, this idea that it is in the distance is a harm to our practice. I will not die today, clinging to this thought until the moment of death. If you are obstructed by such an attitude and do not bring its remedy to mind, you will continue to think that you will remain in this life. So if one is grasping, one is grasping at self. If one is believing that there isn't this vulnerability, if you will, or this potential to perish, then there's a grasping at a self there. And if one has this idea, then one won't be able to apply the remedy, which is the knowledge of the lack of true establishment. As a result of, it says, an attitude, and do not bring its remedy to mind. So as a result of this grasping at self, which is grasping at the idea that one will not perish today or die today, one's ability to practice any of the scope, small, medium, or great, is hindered, and it becomes not, it makes it so it isn't possible to really practice. So we can look at the news analysis and the use of correct signs of subject statement sign, and by saying the subject I is impermanent because of it being a product or a functioning thing or an arisal. So the subject I is impermanent because it is an arisal. The subject I is impermanent because it is a product. The subject I is impermanent because it is a functioning thing. So this becomes an antidote, utilization of these correct signs that prove this impermanence is the antidote to the grasping at its opposite, which is the mistaken view of this permanence itself. The subtle impermanence is similar to how water is flowing, how our life is ending in this way that like water is just flowing, and it's happening in a momentary way, and this is the subtle impermanence that we have, this process of dying that is happening, like water flowing. When we're small, we think we're so strong and able. We don't think of old. And then suddenly, we won't think of these things, and we'll notice that our hair has become very white, and we've become old, and we won't have practiced Dharma because we won't have thought of this need. This is the Ganja Surana? Rinpoche gave again the analogy of the water flowing, and our disintegration in a similar way is just, we're disintegrating in the same way that a water would flow in that process, in that way, and that's our subtle impermanence. We're dying or disintegrating. Disintegrating is more literal, but we were using the word dying before, so I want everyone to relate it. So it's this disintegration that's happening like water flowing.
Meditators
on impermanence use this example of the water flowing, a river flowing, when they're thinking of impermanence. So by thinking about this again and again, we're able to harm the idea that we will not die today. Where this serves as an opponent, or literal harm the idea that we won't be able to die today.
What the metabolic santan three machinia be sanglo de nebu madena, three machinia be sanglo de yuna, then three machinia be sanglo de gene, then tendele, ne mashiba deag charitigris, and mashiba dubala camba gure, mota gure, sanglo gures.
Ale, de gure,
two young mothers. Ale.
I think I read that part. Then, as long as you have this attitude, you will continually think only of how to achieve happiness and evade suffering in this life alone. Thinking, I need this and I need that, I need this and that. You will not engage in religious practice because you do not think about things of great importance, such as future lives, liberation, and omniscience. I added an extra sentence. Sorry. So all we think about is obtaining good food and having drinks and worrying about feeling good and being happy in just this life. So if we think in this way, we think along these lines or in this way, then religious practice won't occur. We won't have a religious practice.
So 타바단 탄제 쳔발라 수비 된 쳔보 달라 나바쥐비 어네 로 로마지 유사 어네 타비란다 둔리란다 산제 고무도 란도들 나쥐 로용 말스드네 선데상다.
If we're only thinking about the things of this life, I need this and that, and we won't engage in religious practice, therefore it will harm our ability to engage in those pathways which lead to the gods and the humans, and those pathways which lead to liberation, those pathways which lead to omniscience. So this idea harms our ability to do those practices, because we are not thinking of our future lives. We're only worried about pleasantries of this particular life. So it says you will not engage in religious practice because you do not think about things of great importance. So things of great importance are the small, medium, and great scopes. So because one doesn't think about things of great importance such as future lives, liberation, and omniscience. So there is only a reflection on the things of this life and needs of this life, and not on the religious practice. So there won't be any real power to the realization or there won't be any real power to any of the realizations of the small, medium, or great scope if one hasn't abandoned this idea that one won't die today. So if one hasn't gotten rid of this perception or this attitude, then one will have a minimal amount of realization or understanding into these of the teachings. Rinpoche said one won't have any great abilities, one, because of grasping at the impermanence, grasping at this permanent self. So it says, moreover, let me go back. Although you may perchance exchange in study, reflection, meditation, and so forth, it will be only for the sake of this life, and whatever virtue you create will be of meager strength. So that's going back to the power, won't have power, the meager strength, so similar. Moreover, since your practice will be involved with wrongdoing, sins, and infractions, it would be rare for these virtuous activities not to be mixed with causes of miserable rebirths. Even if you try to engage in practices directed towards future lives, we will not be able to prevent the laziness of procrastination, thinking, I will do it eventually. So here, because one who is involved with things just of this life will be involved in such negative actions through the body, speech, and mind, even if it's intermingled with practices, those practices will have so much non-virtue mixed with them that they won't have the power or strength to give rise to anything but the rebirth into the lower realms. Not those actions, but one's practice won't give rise to anything but the experience of rebirth into the lower realms because of the lack of strength of the practices, or the meager strength that the practices would have if they were imbued with this idea of I will not die, or I grasping at the self as being permanent. So this is something that we need to go over again and again, and in the future we will go over again.